Welcome everybody to Vayakhel Pekudei. We conclude the book of Shemos this week, God willing. And at the end of Shemos, which is the culmination and the purpose of Shemos, is to have a Mishkan, to have a tabernacle, which is a place where the Shekhinah, the presence of God, will dwell among us. And that is the purpose of everything, really. God dwells among us and inside of us. As we had discussed several weeks ago, the Mishkan building is only a model for how God is able to come and dwell literally inside of us, of our beings. We know that in the Mishkan there was a structure. You entered on one particular side. It was the eastern side. And you walked. First you went up to the... I'm actually going back and forth between the Mishkan and the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was on a mountain. The Mishkan was in the desert. But there was a courtyard. And you had, in order to get to the temple or the Mishkan, you had to go through the courtyard. And then you had to you entered the courtyard, and then you came to the main building, and you entered on a specific side. And first there was one hall, and beyond that hall there was a curtain, and beyond the curtain was the Holy of Holies. So there were very different levels, different layers of holiness to walk through, to penetrate until you could get to stand right in the presence of God. And I think that's a wonderful analogy, and it's not my own analogy, but it's a wonderful analogy to prayer. Because we know that when we say the Shemona Esrei, which is kind of like the meat, the essence of prayer, we are standing in front of God. It's like we were in the Holy of Holies. I think we even spoke about how the Holy of Holies within us is our heart. And tefillah is avoda shebelev. It's service with the heart. So tefillah is really like being in the Holy of Holies. So the question is, how do you get in there? You also have to enter through the right portal and walk through the various stages before you can stand there. So, what's the procedure? What are the directions? What is the pathway? And it's a wonderful analogy to the Mishkan. Now, before we move further, I would like to just recall last week's class that the discussion that we're about to have is predicated on what we learned concerning one of the forms of prayer, one of the terms for prayer that Rabbi Pinkus, thank you, presents to us. And that was the term chilui. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayachal, he did a chilui prayer to Hashem. And it was translated, I think, poorly by Tartz Altschulz, pleaded. Because what Rabbi Pinkus explains for us is that the essence of a chilui prayer is a very calculated, well thought out, polished presentation, like Lahavdil, an attorney, would prepare his strategy of how to present the case before the judge or before the jury. He wouldn't just start, you know, talking off the cuff and start using emotions. He would come up with very well thought out arguments and planned remarks. And that's what a Vayachal is. Vayachal is a very specific, well thought out presentation of arguments, like Moshe said to Hashem after the golden calf, that God says, I'm going to destroy the people. And Moshe came forward with very cool, calculated arguments. He said, well, if you do that, then the Egyptians are going to react by saying God was weak. and he took the people out of Egypt, and then he killed them. And then everybody is going to think that you are not strong, God. Secondly, you made a promise to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if you do not take their children into the land, you will be falling short of your promise. And so on and so forth. And Hashem said, you won the case. Good argument. I relent. I was waiting for you, Moshe, to come up with those reasons that you were dedicated to that. You realize that. And based on that, I'm going to, of course, reconsider. And the art of, it's an art form to be able to win an argument like that. And any person who had some legal issue would no way would he trust himself to go in front of the court, even though he is the one that really feels it and really needs a good outcome, and all he could basically do is start crying and hope for some mercy. But that's not going to win a case. You got to win a case by hiring the best attorneys and figuring out what the judge wants to hear and what the jury wants to hear and what kind of arguments are salient. That's what Chilui teaches us. And therefore, that awakens within us a great need and a great desire to really not just go on our own with prayer. I mean, sure, we would love to just stand there and pour out our hearts and sob and hope Hashem will have mercy. But wait a minute. If prayer requires chilui, then we had better learn what the strategy is and go back to the lawyers and go find out what are the right things to say to that God wants to hear in order to give us a favorable outcome. Mm-hmm. And so that really turns us back away from the just the emotional aspect of prayer, which we're not negating, but it turns us back to focus on the Siddur. And the Siddur was written by the men who really know. And the halachos of prayer, the laws of prayer, they were written by the men who really know. If they said that prayer is much more effective when you're doing it with a minyan than when you're doing it by yourself, then they know. They know what they're talking about. When they say that it's more effective to pray in shul than to pray out in the field, or at least pray inside of a building and not on a mountaintop, they know. Even if we think instinctively, oh, I feel so close to God when I'm on the mountain. But take it from the lawyers. They say you will not win the case from the mountaintop as well as you will from the room or from the shul or with a minion. So we need to respect the convention of prayer. And that's what we are going to do today. Let's learn a little bit about the structure of prayer from the eyes of Rabbi Pinkus. I brought a sitter. What we're going to take a look at is just an introduction. Now, I don't think we've really done this before this whole year. We've been talking about prayer and talking to God and communicating and various forms of crying out for help and also the importance of praising. But I don't think we've really ventured into the convention of prayer. And that is really the treasure chest here. That's why we do it. So what Rabbi Pinkus lays out for us is an introduction to the general format of the morning service, and then also a more detailed format for the Shmon Esrei. It's just an introduction. It's just something to create a general sketch, you know, charcoal on paper. This is not mold. This is not oil. This is not full color, but it is a sketch, and it just whets our appetite to this idea of let's find out from the people who really know. And all of this, by the way, is in the section of Chiloi, because Chiloi is where we learn about doing it, you know, the right way, so to speak. Okay, so the general idea of prayer is to stand before God, like we started off with. Now, when we wake up in the morning, the most important time to daven, apparently, is in the morning. And here's why. The whole world's been sleeping. Okay, there's activity on the other side of the globe, but where we live, the whole world's been sleeping. The Talmud says even the criminals sleep at night, maybe between 3 and 4. It's quiet on the streets. Even New York City, you can get by without too many traffic jams. So that means, you know, it's good news that there's not a lot of crime going on, but it also means that the soul of the world has kind of gone to sleep. The world is here, the body is here, but just like when we're sleeping, our soul is not awake, our mind is not awake, the world, the soul of the world is also asleep. When we wake up in the morning, we have to arouse, we have to wake up the soul of the world. Well, what is the soul of the world? Ultimately, it's Hashem, but as we know, it takes man, primarily the Jew, to recognize and proclaim Hashem as the King of the world in order for Hashem to truly, for His presence to be here. Shekhinah, presence, is not God, it is the presence of God among mankind. So what we need to do in the morning, more so than the other parts of the day, is wake up the world. Wake up the spirit. Reconnect the presence of God with the physical world. That is the general goal of our tefillah. It's not just about helping me, little me, get what I need today. It's not just a gimme session. It is a collective, let's come together and let's reconnect the world to its soul. So, the first part of the prayer, and I'm going to, let me just tell you in advance of the different sections of the tefillah that we will be looking at. The first section of the morning prayers are the blessings. Okay? Let's say if you're an art scroll, if you're familiar with art scroll English, that would be starting on page 14, going through page 20, the blessings. After the blessings, we have certain sections where we read passages related to the korbanos, the offerings. Not all of them are said in a typical minyan because it's not all required. I personally try to say the one paragraph, I learned this in the yeshiva, the Karban HaTamid, the Tamid offering on page 32 and 33, it is about the fire offering that was offered once in the morning, once in the evening, two lambs. That's the Karban Tamid. That's 365 every single day. But there's others as well. So that's known as the Korbanos, the offerings. The next section is the Psukei Dezimra, the Psalms, primarily made of Tehillim and other things. It's all praises of God. The next section is the Shema and its surrounding blessings. Starting on page 84, we have the blessings of before the Shema, we have the three paragraphs of the Shema, and we have the blessing after the Shema. And then we have the Shmona Esrei, the 18 or really 19 blessings. We know about that. We're familiar more with that. And then after the Shmona Esrei, we have some other ending stuff. Let's point out there's Ashrei, which is one of the psalms we repeat. Then Ashrei together with Uval Letzion. And then we have, now here is where Ashkenaz and Sephardic custom a little bit depart. He actually looks at the Sephardic as being more of this pattern that we're looking for. After the Ashrei and Uval Letzion, they actually do the Psalm of the Day, another psalm. Then they do the Enk Elokeinu, which Ashkenazim don't do during the week, except in Israel, only on Shabbos, and Enk Elokeinu is followed by the incense, which is another type of a karban offering, and then at the end we have Aleinu. Okay, so, again, without any orientation, it's just page after page. But listen to the scheme, according to our sages, as elucidated by Rabbi Pinkus. So, we're trying to wake up the soul of the world. Right now, the world is just a body, bodies, earth. So, the first thing we do is we start blessing God. We start blessing God for everything that we are. We recognize that God is the creator and the worker of all of these miraculous existence. We bless God for the fact that we exist. We praise God for the fact that we are Jewish and we are not an idolater. We are not even a servant of a Jew. The men, thank God that they have more mitzvah opportunities than the women. The women, thank God that they are the way that they were made because they are inherently holy. But everyone thanks God for just their existence. That then they thank God for their existence of their physical faculties, our eyesight, even our clothing, the ground that we walk on. The fact that God provides us all of our needs, from head to toe, from our hat to our belt to our shoes. There's a blessing for health. Asher Yatzar, in the Siddur, it's actually printed before, but some people say the blessings when they first wake up. So, after they use the restroom, they thank God for their health, the fact that the body works. And even if not everything works, there's a lot of other things that couldn't work, and we'd be worse off. We thank God for our souls, Elokai, Neshama. We thank God for our mind, our ability to think and reason. We thank God for the Torah, which is the software that makes the soul run, and it connects us with Him. In short, through the saying of blessings in the morning that were carefully chosen by the men who know, we are now have fully aroused and awakened within ourselves and within the community that we hopefully pray with, the awareness that this world has a soul. And the soul is sourced in God, and with our recognition of that source, the world is infused with Shekhinah, with divine presence. So what we've done is we've just woken up the world. Remember, the goal is to stand before God. We're not there yet, but we've woken up the world. Karbanos, the offerings, the purpose of the offerings is kind of like breakfast. Throughout the Torah, the offerings are referred to as the fire of God, sometimes the bread of God, sometimes sweet smelling scent. Reach Nichoach. What Rabbi Pinkus says is that the karbanos is like the daily bread. Just as we need bread to keep us alive, and keeping alive doesn't mean physical sustenance alone. Because if a person doesn't have a body, if a person dies, the soul is gone from this world. So eating, you ever think of it this way? Eating keeps our soul in the world. Because if we live, if we're alive, then our soul is here. So eating bread keeps our body and our soul together. That keeps the soul in the world. So karbanos is the bread which keeps the soul of the world in the world. We don't know how it works, just like we don't really understand how bread turns into nutrition, but it does. And so karbanos is the bread of the world. we offer a carbon to Hashem, it keeps the soul of the world in the world. We don't know how it works, but it works. So we do a little bit of carbon, as I mentioned, I say one paragraph, but that's the, in other words, we've woken up the world, and now we're feeding it breakfast with the carbonos, so to speak. So now, after this, the world should be running, should be humming along, purring along. It's got its soul restored. It's been fed. It's happy. The world is good. Now, the goal is to stand before God. We're not there yet. The next thing, now that the world is running, we are going to start climbing. We're going to start climbing. We're going to try to become a little bit like angels who are in the spiritual realm. They're closer to God in that sense. Of course, they don't have the struggles that we do. We're going to try to jump and elevate ourselves to kind of be like angels. And we know that one of the great occupations of angels is praising God. That's what they do all day long. So we're going to start praising God. And that is a function of Pesukei DeZimra, the Psalms of Praise. At the center of the Psalms of Praise is a group of five. Really, Ashrei starts it off. But after Ashrei, there are five of the last five Psalms of the book. 146 till 150. And they all start with the term, Hallelujah. And each of these Psalms rises higher and higher in praise of God. The first Psalm, 146, praises God for man. Let me just read like a sentence or two from each one. What is it? 66 is Ashrei, so that would be 70. Page 70, Psalm 146. Halali nafshi es Hashem. Praise Hashem, O my soul. I will praise Hashem while I live. I will make music to God while I exist. We're praising Hashem for man, for us. Psalm 147. Praising Hashem for the world. For the world. Start talking about animals. It broadens it up. The first one is about man. The second one is about the world. All right, I'll let you read it and find that. Rabbi Pinkus says this is a praise of Hashem for the world. And it also mentions Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is the heart of the world. By the way, did you know that Jerusalem stands on the 32nd degree of latitude?
Same as
32 is the numerical value of Lev, heart. Atlanta's 33, not far.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost on the same latitude. Psalm 148 is praising Hashem for the heavenly sphere. We're getting higher, remember? We're climbing. Praise Hashem from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all the angels. Praise Him all His legions. Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all bright stars. Most exalted of the heavens and the waters are above the heavens. In other words, we're praising Hashem. We're moving up. And up doesn't just mean like up in it, like in terms of an astronaut. Up also means in terms of connecting with Him in the spiritual realm. Rising from the earth to the heaven, in the existential sense. 149. We praise Hashem for the future of Israel, for the future of the world. We're not even able to be at the pinnacle of our connection with God in this world. We need the world to come. That's praised in 149. Sing to Hashem a new song, a song that we haven't sung until now. This is the song of the future. Let Israel exult in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. That's when there's really going to be a connection. And 150 is praising Hashem for Hashem. Hallelujah, Kel B'Kodsho. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. You see how we've climbed from ourselves to the world, to the heavens, to the future, and to God Himself. We've been praising. We're now ready to rub shoulders with the angels. We're getting closer. The goal is to stand before Hashem. We're not there yet. Now we start Shema and its blessings. So, of course, what's the center of that is the Shema. But do you know what comes before the Shema? The name of God, the great, mighty, and awesome King, holy is He. Then they all accept upon themselves the yoke of heavenly sovereignty from one another. Who's the they?
The angels.
And grant permission to one another to sanctify the one who formed them with tranquility, with clear articulation, and with sweetness. All of them as one proclaim His holiness and say with awe. We're inside. We're in the palace right now. We are there with the angels. Holy, holy, holy is Hashem, Master of legions. The whole world is filled with His glory. We are inside the palace. We're not in the chamber yet, but we're inside the palace. We're standing there with the angels, praising Hashem now with the angels. We're not just reading King David's Psalms. We are standing next to the angels, plays Baruch Kavod Hashem Imkomo, blessed is the glory of Hashem from His place. That's where we are in the blessings of the Shema. And when we read the Shema, we are proclaiming Hashem Echad, the oneness, the unity of God. Because we're there. We are in His palace. That's awesome. Kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. That's Shema and its blessings. We're in the palace, next to the angels. They're letting us sing in the choir. And now all we have to do is go into God's chamber. That's the Shemona Esrei. We've got to walk in. We've got to enter. We have to realize that's going to be a different place than we've been up until now. And hence the three steps forward, putting us lifnei Hashem mamash, actually. All right. Now what do we do when we're there? Now we need another structure. We need to know what's the protocol for the Shemona Esrei. By the way, don't you feel that by this point we kind of want to have a script in front of us because we really wouldn't know what to say? Don't we see the value of having a sitter? Like, what are we going to say when we get there? You see, it's not just as simple, you can cry out to God from anywhere, from the baseball stadium, but we're in the palace right now. We want to know what are the good things to say. Baruch Hashem, we have a sitter. All right. So the key for understanding the Shemona Esrei is a Talmudic passage, only about half a page, in the Tractate of Megillah. It's not in the Kabbalah, not in the Zohar. It's in the Talmud. And it just gives a rundown of the order of the blessings and why each one follows the one before it. Again, this is only a sketch. We're not going to read the particular words, but we will review the topics of each of the blessings. And you're familiar with them because our scroll gives us a title. Avos, Gevuros, and Kedusha. Every single Shemona Esrei of the year starts off with the three patriarchs, God's might, and holiness of God's name. The Talmud and Megillah relate that those three are patterned after Psalm 29. Psalm 29. It's not a time for a praising. I mean, it is praise, actually. But the order is based on Psalm 29. Mizmor le David. Havu Lashem b'nei elim, havu Lashem kavod v'oz. We also recite this psalm when we're carrying the Torah around. Havu Lashem kavod shemo, ishtachavu Lashem bihadras kodesh. A psalm of David, render unto Hashem, you sons of the powerful. That's the patriarch, sons of the powerful. Render unto Hashem honor and might. That's the second blessing, God's might. Render unto Hashem honor worthy of his name. That's the holiness of God's name. That's where that came from. It's all like introductory praises. Then, on the weekdays, we start the 13 blessings of request. So what's the order of that? So this is, when I studied this passage in Megillah several years ago, I said, this is a good thing to know. Because this really gives you a grasp. It lets you get your hands around what the Shmona Esrei is leading towards. And I was so gratified. And I remember once on a family trip, I had recently studied this Talmud, and I had my family in the car, and I said, do you want to hear something great? And I started telling them the order of the brachos of the Shmona Esrei. And I was thinking to myself, this is a really good thing to know. And I'm going to share it with you in a moment. But I was so gratified that Rabbi Pinkus quotes Rav Itzel Blazer, who was one of the students of Rav Yisrael Salanter, who says, if you want to have good kavana during Shmona Esrei, study the Talmud and Megillah. Page 17b. And I said, wow, he also thought this is a good thing to know. And by knowing the order, it'll help you stay focused. Rabbi Pinkus writes, it's so easy for your mind to wander because we're not really on a track. He says, this Gemara gives you the track. Now here's how it goes. Understanding. It's man's greatest faculty. With understanding, we can do what we were put here for, which is teshuvah, which is come back to God. When we do teshuvah, Hashem, of course, forgives us for all the time that we were away from Him. Salicha. And when we are forgiven, we are redeemed. And when the whole world seeks to come back to God and God forgives the whole world, we will all be redeemed. With that redemption will come healing. This, says the Talmud, is not a physical healing only, but it's a healing that comes about through return and forgiveness. Interestingly enough, I don't think the Talmud mentioned Parnassa, the one about sustenance. Which is maybe why it's such a hard thing to do. But I don't recall that being mentioned here. Repentance after insight. Insight understanding. Geula, redemption. Refua. And then it says... I missed that in my notes. Why did they see fit to say the blessing of the years? My apologies. Let's scratch that from the record. Of course it's in there. The blessing is directed against those, you're going to love this, who raise the prices of food unfairly, especially before Pesach. There are people who are not good. They're rishayim, they're wicked, and they raise the prices. We're about to get into a series of blessings whereby what has to happen in the world is there has to be an eradication of a lot of bad stuff. So that starts with prosperity, because there's a lot of bad people who are in charge of the storehouses of the world. A lot of corruption and a lot of dishonesty. Hashem, bless our years. And start with, hopefully, with our initiation of the process of teshuvah, hopefully clean up all of the evil from the world. Financial, kibbutz galuyos, bring us out of this exile and gather us in. Pronounce judgment on the wicked. Remove the wicked from the world. V'lamalshini maltihi sikva. V'chol harisha kula. How is that? That actually was added later. That's the 19th blessing, by the way. Against heretics. For the slanderers, let there be no hope. May all wickedness perish in an instant. May all your enemies be cut down speedily. See the pattern? Prosperity, exiles, in gathering, restoration of justice. Get rid of the bad guys. Let the righteous flourish and prosper. Al hatzadikim, yala chasidim. And then God, after you've brought us back and you've gotten rid of the Rishoyim and you've raised up the Tzadikim, that will occur where? In Yerushalayim. And then we will see the restoration of the Davidic kingdom, Mashiach, descendant of David. And when all that has happened, then, finally, there will be tefillah. Finally, our prayers will really be answered, because, face it, our prayers are being made in a world filled with such a smokescreen, so much evil. Can you imagine praying in a world where there are no barriers, where there are no wicked people? When we're at home, when we're all together, and we're in Yerushalayim, Shomea Tefillah, then you will hear Tefillah. And then we will have our avodah back. We will have our temple. We will have its offerings. That will be restored. And hoda'ah, thanksgiving. Isn't thanksgiving for now too? Ha 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 ha. We have no idea how much thanks we owe, because we don't see the world in its rectified state. Boy, when we have everything restored, when we're in Jerusalem bringing karbanos, thanksgiving will be thanksgiving. The Kohanim will be able to bless us once again, and then we're going to have shalom. Then, and only then, is there going to be peace. In other words, the Shmona Esrei, we are standing before God, this is how I see it, and we are describing and yearning and expressing our aspiration for the rectified world, the way it's supposed to be, the way it can be, the way it will be. This Shmona Esrei is a description, step by step, ingredient by ingredient, of the perfect world. And by expressing our desire for this, and by praying for it, God, like he says to Moshe, I was waiting for you to ask for this. Now that you ask for it, I will give it. If we ask for it, Hashem will not say no. If we all say, we want, you know, it's easy to say we want Mashiach now, but we got to have all these steps. We want to have understanding now. We want to repent now. We want you to forgive us now. That's how you say, we want Mashiach now. Let's express all of these ingredients. Let's take it from the people who really know. This is the formula.
So we have to earn it.
That's how you earn it. Repentance. Hashiva shofteinu kivarishona. No. Hashivenu avinu lesorasecha. Return us, our Father, to your Torah. Hashivenu avinu lesorasecha vekarvenu malkenu lavodosecha. Bring us close, our King, to your service. And return us in perfect repentance to you. We want to come home, God. Through your Torah, through your avoda, prayer, we want to come back. Take us back. I will forgive you. I will ingather you. I will heal you. I will remove the people that are trying to stop this. I will restore the righteous, etc., etc., and then we will have reconciliation. That's the Shmona Esrei. And finally, says Rabbi Pinkus, if you imagine, I'm just thinking of this on the spot, if you were in an airplane and you were at cruising altitude and the pilot says, okay, we're here, I'm leaving now, I'm leaving you up here. You can't leave us here. You launched, you took off, you brought us up there, and now you got to bring us back. If you don't bring us back, if you just let go of us here, we're going to fall. So we can't go from this world that was just sleeping a few minutes earlier and then get catapulted up till we're standing in the Holy of Holies and then just say, got to go to work. We're just going to fall. So we have to now recede. We have to go out. We have to go back through the hallways where we came to back out slowly. So the end part of the davening, although it's a lot quicker, is a reversal of those steps. The Ashrei Anu Valetzion, if you recall, has also Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in it. On page 154, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kibod Hashem Imkomo, echoing the recitation of the Kedusha with the angels that we did before the Shemone Esrei. We're backing out, we're now back into the hallway, into the palace. According to the Sephardic tradition, the next thing is the Psalm of the Day, Psalms. That's revisiting the Pesukei de Zimra, Psalms of Praise. The next thing is the Ein Kelokeinu, which we don't do every day, and the recitation of the Ketores, the incense, that is corresponding to the Korbanos, backing out. And then we're really on ground floor again. And then we finish it off with Aleinu, which he says, Aleinu is the kind of like after you get your carpet cleaned, then you want to get some scotch guard so that it doesn't get dirty again. So we say, wow, Hashem, we just woke up the world. We just, you know, infused it, did resuscitation of the world, brought it back to life again with its soul. We've been all the way up to heaven and back down. And now what's going to happen for the rest of the day? There are people all around us that look at us and say, huh, you're dreaming, man. What are you doing, fairy tales? This is the real world. There are people that want to deny Hashem and everything that we just went through. And so we say, Aleinu, it is our duty to praise the Master of all, to ascribe greatness to the Molder of primeval creation, for He has not made us like the nations of the lands, has not emplaced us like the families of the earth. He did not assign our portion like theirs, our lot like all the multitudes. Some people add, they vow to vanity and emptiness, pray to a God which helps not, but we bend our knees, bow, and acknowledge our thanks before you. He says, Aleinu is like the Scotch Guard. It keeps the world pristine as we brought it during Shacharis for the rest of the day, or at least in time till the next tefillah. That's what the people who really know tell us how to daven. Of course, we should daven with all our heart and all our emotions, but tefillah is something, there's a wisdom there. We want to connect to it. We want to take it from the experts, and we would have had no idea this is what we're doing if they hadn't opened our eyes. And thank God, not only did they tell us what we're supposed to do, but they wrote the script, and they put it in our hands, and all we have to do is read it with our hearts and our feelings. Shkoach.
Yes, Shkoach.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Question.
Thank you. Yes.
Firstly, reading the Siddur is a great guide. The words are so beautiful and meaningful that I couldn't approach prayer in any way other than that. So I believe what the root that you said.
Thank you.
A question. You said several times that the world has a soul. And I'd like to know what you mean by that. You mean that the the earth has a soul, or the inhabitants of the earth have a soul. You said that the soul has to be woken up in the morning because it's gone to sleep. I don't understand.
I think the only way we can understand this concept of the body and the soul in a global sense is just understand the interplay between our bodies and our souls. I think that if you contemplate that, you will understand it. You know, of course, science has mastered, you know, to whatever degree it has, the body. It doesn't say much about the soul, if anything.
Nothing.
And we, although we don't really understand it, we sure know it's there. We sure know the difference between a cadaver and a human being. And it's not just that the blood is flowing, the heart is pumping, and the brain waves are moving. We understand that that a human being has a soul, and a whole structure and system of understanding and emotion and ability to perceive the intangible, and even to perceive and to reach out to touch the divine. So every mode of existence exists on those two levels too. If it's true about people, it's got to be true about the totality of people. It's got to be true about all of existence. You could look at when we say the world, we could either say the world is a globe, or we could say, well, that's the physical part of the world, but then there's also the inanimate part of the world, which is the sum total of all of our souls plus God. So when we say the world has a soul, we're not saying anything more or anything less than the fact that existence is on a physical level and a spiritual level. When we wake up in the morning, the globe has been here all along, but no life, no awareness, no human soul activity has been taking place. So we want to regenerate that. We have to restart it. No different than a person waking up and getting back into gear. You know, when you wake up, sometimes you're grumpy. After you've had your breakfast, your benevolence comes back. Just think of that on a global level, and imagine the great power and responsibility that we, the Jewish people, have for maintaining the resuscitation of that soul every day.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.